Right. Hello and welcome to Texas Tech Public Media's West Texas Town Hall series. I'm Sarah Self-Walbrick. Yesterday was the deadline for Texans to register to vote in the November election. So now it's time to make your plan to actually go through with it and go vote. So I am joined by El Paso County Elections Administrator Lisa Wise, who's here to answer all of your questions about voting. You can send those to us by commenting on this live stream or by using the hashtag WTXTownHall. All right, so Lisa, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm excited to hear more about what we have coming up. So I want to start with voter registration. We've seen an uptick statewide. How many people are registered to vote in El Paso County, and how does that compare in particular to the 2016 election?
So thank you for having me, Sarah. Right now, we have a little over 483,000 registered voters in El Paso County. We do anticipate that will climb a little bit from those registrations we received that were postmarked yesterday or maybe sent to the Texas Secretary of State's office that we'll receive in the next coming week. And it's actually a huge increase. In 2016, we had about 427,000 registered voters. So although we keep hearing about the population in El Paso possibly declining, our registration numbers continue to increase. So we're very excited to see those numbers.
That is exciting. So any noticeable trends in who registered? Is it mostly first-time voters, maybe people who needed to renew after some latency period? Just any trends in those voter registrations?
Right. So we don't do a whole lot of extrapolating of data at this point because we're so in election mode. But we have seen and heard from a lot of people who have not registered before and who are new registrants and who are new to El Paso County. So we've gotten a lot of younger voters that 18 to 25 or even 18 to 30 that have come in and personally dropped off their registration or wanted information. So it's a wide range across the county, but we've definitely seen an uptick in interest from a younger community as well.
That's exciting to hear. It's exciting to hear people want to participate in our democracy. That's always a good thing. We're voting for a lot this election, a lot more than just the president. So what's on the ballot in El Paso and what will that ballot look like?
So El Paso County has over 50 ballot styles, and your ballot depends on where you live. And that's something we let people know. We always hear people that call and maybe say, hey, my friend, you know, lives in Clint and she had this on her ballot and I didn't. And so we let people know your ballot's going to be different than almost everybody's except in your own specific precinct. So we actually have a very lengthy ballot this time. We have some utility districts, Lower Valley water districts on those. We also have our school districts. We've got different entities throughout the county who will put their school board races on there. We have our the city of El Paso mayor and a couple of the city reps, and then the partisan ballot. So, and then you get to federal, state, and county offices. So, it's a pretty lengthy ballot. So we're letting voters know, please plan ahead because it's long. It's definitely long.
Absolutely. So with it being so long, have y'all tested to see about how long it should take for people to fill it out once they get in the voting booth?
Sure. So it's hard to do that because of how many different styles we have. If we are encouraging voters to print out a sample ballot from our website, they can get the precinct specific on there. Even fill it out ahead of time. Do your research so that when you do go to the poll, it's going to take less time. But for somebody, let's say in the city of El Paso, that's not maybe in a representative district, they're only going to have one race before they hit the partisan ballot. So in general, that would take probably just a couple of minutes. But if you're in one of our entities like the city of Socorro, who have, I believe, 8 propositions on there, and everyone knows proposition language is incredibly lengthy and sometimes very complicated. So yes. If you're in the city of Socorro in our county, it's going to take you longer. So it's really hard to kind of gauge. It could go from a couple minutes to 10, 15, you know, depending on how much research you do ahead of time.
Big thing though is to plan ahead. Look at that sample ballot and know what you expect right. As you go to the voting booth. That's always helpful. And then we've heard a lot about the different ways to vote this election year. I want to start with mail-in voting. There is still some time to request that kind of ballot. So what do people need to know about the mail-in voting process?
Right. So we have actually received record-breaking application numbers here in El Paso County. Prior to this election, we had about 12,600 was our highest request. We're at about 30,000 now. So we're well over that and we're continuing to climb. The deadline to request a ballot by mail is October 23rd, and that's received, not postmarked. So that's a little different than voter registration, and we like to make sure that our voters understand that it's received. So that's October 23rd. We have been sending out ballots starting September 25th. We're telling voters it may take 7 days from your request being sent in to receive your ballot. We're doing a pretty quick turnaround. I think they were on what we've got over the weekend. So it's usually a 2 or 3 day processing period. We're asking they please turn those ballots in as soon as possible. Everybody has seen the media coverage of the USPS delays, possible 7 to 10 days that they're advising. We have not seen that yet here in El Paso County. We ended up sending out the majority of those ballots on Friday the 25th, and we received some back in person that Monday. So we know that they're out there. We know they're being returned, but we are asking, please do not hold on to those. The deadline is November 3rd by 7 p.m. However, if there is a readable postmark, we can take them on November 4th by close of business, but that's really pushing it. I suggest people don't wait till the last minute. And you're right about the plan. That's what we've been telling people. Mm-hmm. You know, plan, review your ballot. There's no straight ticket this time. So it's definitely gonna, in our county especially, we were a county who utilized straight ticket heavily. So we're telling people, make a plan, decide where you're going to vote, decide when you're going to vote, decide how you're going to vote. Have all of those things handled and ready instead of waiting for the last minute.
For mail-in ballot requests, unlike other states, we didn't change the requirements for that in Texas. So can you go over those requirements to be able to apply for a mail-in ballot?
Sure. So Texas is not a no excuse state, right? So there are states, and we'll have people that call in the state I'm from, Nebraska, they'll call and say, well, I just moved from so-and-so and I didn't have to fill all of this out. Why can't I just get a ballot? So because Texas does require an excuse to vote by mail, and there's generally four excuses. The ballot by mail qualifications are one, either 65 years of age or older. That makes almost 90% of our requests are for those 65 years of age or older. Going to be out of the county during early voting and on election day. You will need to give us an address to send that ballot out of county. That's required. Incarcerated, but still have your voting rights intact. So either you're awaiting a trial or it's a misdemeanor or something like that, you're able to request. And then the sick and disabled. And that's the one that we've seen in the media so much lately, especially with the pandemic. So there's actually still a couple lawsuits out there, but nothing that will be changed prior to election day as we're moving on. And basically what the courts have ruled on that sick and disabled is that it's at the voter's discretion whether or not they believe they qualify for a ballot under that qualification. And as election administrators, we do not have direction by the courts or the law to verify that. We don't have your medical records. Again, it's at the voter's discretion on whether or not they qualify under that requirement.
I didn't realize that. So that's really, really helpful information. Thank you for going so in depth on that. Did the recent Dropbox announcement from Governor Greg Abbott, did that affect El Paso County at all?
So the recent proclamation, back in July, there was an initial proclamation where Governor Abbott extended early voting to start the 13th of October next week rather than the 19th. Another part of that proclamation allowed for voters who had ballot by mail, who had ballots by mail, to turn them in person at a drop spot. Normally, the election code allows only for an in-person drop-off on election day. This extended it throughout now and then up until the polls close on November 3rd. Some counties who operate as their county clerk is the early voting clerk, Harris, Travis, we've seen those. They were able to use their annexes because as the county clerk is the early voting clerk, those are actually all of their offices. Other counties like Dallas, Bear, Tarrant, us, still major sized counties, we operate under the election administrator model. And therefore, I'm the early voting clerk. Same thing in Dallas, their elections administrator, Tony Poole, she's the early voting clerk. Therefore, we could only have one location. And we looked at that with our attorneys. Is there any way we can provide more options? Their desk isn't the way that the office is set up. So because we initially started with one drop spot, the proclamation, the revised proclamation last week did not affect our county. However, we do, our drop spot is outside. It's a curbside drop spot. So you don't need to go through the courthouse. You don't need to park. We're on the east side of our courthouse on Campbell Street. And there's a poll worker crew out there. You'll see a tent and signs and you'll drive up and show your ID, sign the log, and pass over your ballot. So it's actually a very quick process.
That's awesome. It sounds like y'all also have a good plan. We're encouraging voters to have a plan, but there's a lot that goes into it from your perspective as well. So switching gears a little bit to early voting, what do you expect to look like for folks, and what do they need to know about early voting this year?
So obviously we encourage early voting. We've always tried to get voters to vote early for several reasons. One is if there is something that happens, if there is something we have to double check on our rolls, or you're not able to go to the location that you would normally be assigned, early voting really gives you a lot of options. Like I said earlier, the governor did extend the deadline or the beginning of early voting to next Tuesday. We're going to have 35 sites throughout the county. We will have voting on all weekend days, every week, every Saturday and Sunday during that time. We're also going to do an extension the last week of early voting. We're going to do 10 sites throughout the county until 10 p.m. And all of those sites are available on our website. All of that information is available on our website. So we're trying to get it so that if people do work late and on the weekends and maybe aren't able to get in, that they have that last week to go to any of those sites until the 10 p.m. We're also going to be using our Vote Safe El Paso campaign that we did in July in response, obviously, to the pandemic. Where everything will be separated 6 feet for social distancing. Our poll workers will all be masked. We'll be giving voters what we're calling a Vote Safe El Paso kit. And in that kit is basically some hand wipes, a disposable stylus, finger cot, the I voted sticker. And we're really encouraging people to use those hand wipes rather than the hand sanitizer if possible. Because in July, we had a lot of voters who really hand sanitized and got their ballots a little damp. And they were jamming and things like that. So, that's something we never had happen before because we didn't have people, using a lot of that sanitizer upon voting. So that's why we're providing the hand wipes. We will have sanitizer on site. We're also going to have what we're calling a clean team so that every location will have personnel designated solely for cleaning, not processing voters. We had our poll workers kind of do both of those in July. And with that turnout, that was possible. But we realized in November, there was no way they would be able to swing processing voters and making sure the site is disinfected. So we're just kind of expanding on what we did in July. And we're hoping again, we're encouraging everyone who does qualify to vote by mail. That's the ideal way to vote. However, if you don't qualify or want to vote in person, we're dedicated to, providing a safe location. But again, if it's not by mail, then we encourage early voting would be the second preference. You have so many days, so many locations, and so many options. That's again, where we try to get voters to head out to the polls.
Any advice on a particular day or time that's maybe a bit slower, that people may be able to get in and out a little quicker?
Yeah, generally the first couple days are busy because everybody's kind of going, and the last couple days are insane. And so if you can kind of go in the middle of those days, and we always stay open on the weekends because we want to offer that option, but those are actually our slowest days. So I tell people, you would think, okay, the weekends are when you're not having to work and you've got the time. It seems actually like people like to vote while they're already out. So a Sunday for sure. Those Sundays are generally very slow. That's when I would encourage people who really want to avoid the crowds. The other thing that we're doing is we're having seven express curbside locations is what we're calling them, where it's basically drive-through voting. You'll pull up, the poll workers will already be out there. You won't need to even get out of your car. They'll roll a little cart over to you with all the supplies. You'll vote and be on your way. So we have set seven locations up throughout the county to begin that. And those will be available during early voting and on election day, those same seven sites.
Perfect. And then just a reminder to viewers, you can send us your questions. Please comment on this feed on Facebook, or you can send them to us using the hashtag WTX Town Hall. So continuing on, election day will be here before we know it. That early voting period is going to go by so quickly. So what are you expecting actual election day to look like?
Sure. So election day is going to be very different in El Paso, not just because of the pandemic, but because El Paso County, this will be the first election that we'll be participating in the vote center program. And so the vote center program, or countywide polling place, as the election code refers to it, is a program that the state of Texas has participated in for several years. And basically, it's just similar to early voting. We're going to have 151 locations throughout the county where voters can use anyone they want. And so instead of going to the precinct where they've normally gone to, which they still can, we tried to maintain as many precinct spots as possible, unless we needed to close for construction, or we did need to obviously not use some assisted living centers because of the pandemic. But we tried to keep as many of those open and then add even high traffic sites. So we'll have more polling sites this election with vote centers than we did, you know, in the prior presidential. So they will see that will be very different, because again, they'll be able to go wherever they want. And our website, epcountyvotes.com, will have wait times, also geolocating for you the closest locations. So election day, we're expecting, we generally have either a, I would say 60-40 early voting, 60% of our turnout, 40 on election day. We're really trying to move that needle to get real heavy on early voting. And we don't want to eliminate turnout. We just want to eliminate how the turnout is coming out. So, but we do anticipate that we will be busy. There's a lot of election purists, as I call them. And I myself was one, but have not, you know, been able to vote on election day for several years. But I loved voting on election day. So I understand people wanting to do that. But I do anticipate we will see a pretty hefty crowd on election day. A lot will depend on where we sit with the pandemic at that point in 4 weeks and weather, although El Paso, we're generally pretty lucky. But, you know, 4 weeks away, there's still a couple things that could affect that.
Absolutely. Especially these days. I mean, everything changes daily, it seems. Daily. So we'll see where we're at in four right. weeks. So I want to make sure we have a viewer question. I want to make sure we answer. My mother requested a ballot via mail, but it hasn't arrived. According to the post office, it was delivered. What should her next steps be?
Okay, so according to the post office, if they did deliver the ballot and the woman does not have it, they would call our office, and there's two options. If she decides that she wants to vote in person, she could. If she wants us to send a second ballot, we will. So we can send out a second ballot for instances just like this. That first ballot would be canceled. Therefore, if that did come back, it would not be accepted. So that's in order to make sure we don't have somebody get two ballots. We do have people who do request the ballots and then decide, though, that they want to go out on election day. That happens actually often in November. And in that case, they can either turn in their ballot at the polling site and vote a regular ballot, or if they don't have it, they can show up at the polling site and vote provisionally. And then we have 6 days by law to make sure that ballot by mail didn't come in. But if the mail post office did say that it got delivered, I would double check with our office, if this voter lives in El Paso County, to make sure that that is accurate, and then go from there on getting a second ballot.
Perfect. Again, for viewers, don't forget, you can ask us your questions right here on Facebook by commenting on this stream or by using the hashtag WTX Town Hall. I wanted to briefly talk about poll workers. We've seen concerns about a shortage nationwide. What are you seeing in El Paso? Do you have enough people signed up right now?
Right. So in the state of Texas, the poll workers, the judges and alternate judges are appointed by the political parties. We have not seen the shortage that we're hearing about across the country. Both of the parties have been, you know, worked very diligent and getting their list to us. I know that we will have shortages as far as that we'll need to send, you know, in people as we get closer. And if we see an uptick in turnout during early voting, you know, we'll be saying, hey, we need to maybe add a couple people to these locations and things like that. But so far, they've been really good about getting their people together. We are hiring on site, though, for things that we will staff, like phone banks. We have what we call district supervisors that go out and basically have a route of three or four locations, and they just troubleshoot. And we really kind of amp up their training so that we're not having to go out. They kind of are the between us and the poll workers. But we will have plenty of things if there are people who are interested. And they want to work for the part for one of the parties at the polling sites. Perfect. I would suggest they contact the parties. However, if they're interested in doing something maybe more like the supervising or the phone banking or filling in, even we will have those. We will hire for that in our office. So we have not seen the shortage yet. And honestly, people at least that I've talked to, they're very amped up about this election. And the pandemic is not keeping them from participating. Our training started this week for early voting, and they've been full. So we have not seen the flake rate that we've heard, you know, across the country, at least not yet here.
That's great. So we've talked about a bunch of differences this year. That's going to lead to a difference in how we get the results. How quickly do you think that we will get election results after November 3rd?
So this is something I like everybody to know ahead of time, which is that those election results on November 3rd are never final, right? Everybody always thinks, okay, this is it. And I mean, I don't know if everybody remembers, obviously, Gore v. Bush, but 2000, the last major election where the country really didn't know in general, but that can happen even in smaller elections. So we will count all of our precinct results on election night. We will not leave until those are done. However, there will be mail that comes in that day that we will not be processing. There will be provisionals that are cast that day that we will not be processing. Military and overseas have an extended deadline to return their ballot by mail. And even the civilian deadline, which comes in even later that day, that next day. So now generally there's not enough outstanding to change or alter what we have. But however, we have seen such a huge by mail increase this year that we don't know what those stragglers will look like. So we have until 6 days after the election to cure the provisional ballots, to count whatever's been turned in, to get those by mail through the early voting ballot board committee and the signature verification committee. So we basically use that as our drop deadline that Monday following the election. Unless there's a large number outstanding, you'll have a pretty good idea on election night. We'll start counting our early ballots, which is allowed by law because of our size on that Saturday. We'll start processing. We bought two scanners this last 2019 that are able to process at a pretty good click. So we think we'll see the majority of the results in still on Tuesday night, early Wednesday morning, just depending on how long it does take to run stuff through. But again, that's still, none of that is still final until we canvass and then until the state canvasses.
Good deal. Okay. Switching back to some viewer comments and requests. We talked a little bit about, you know, being prepared, looking at your sample ballot, but there are certain things you cannot bring to the voting booth with you. Can you go over, you know, what you can bring as a way to prepare and plan?
Sure. So you can bring a sample ballot with you. You can bring a slate card with you. You can bring notes with you. I mean, you are allowed to bring those things on your person. What you're not allowed to do is share those with other voters, promote those. You're not supposed to leave those behind so that the voter, you know, we go behind the voter now. The poll booths are a little different these days. When the code was written, they were kind of the ones that had the curtain and people would maybe take a slate card in and then leave it there so that people could get in and see that afterwards. We don't really have that type of setup right anymore. But so you are still allowed to bring in the sample ballot. You are allowed to bring in a slate card that you have. You are allowed to bring in a piece of notebook paper with items like that. What you're not allowed to do is use an electronic device unless you need that because of some type of disability for ballot reference. So we do have technology has changed so much that there are applications that are able to translate things via sign language for a sample ballot. And there are voters who use electronic readers on their phone, like a JAWS or whatever, you know, whatever may be their reader of choice for visually impaired. If that is something that you're using that phone for, then that's completely allowed by law for ballot reference on that side of it. But as far as bringing in paper with your choices or your notes on them, that's completely allowed as long as you're not sharing that and electioneering with that information.
Good deal. Kind of wrapping things up, anything we haven't covered that you were hearing and being asked about from voters?
Sure. So one of the things that's come up this year, and it comes up every year, is this idea of voter intimidation or poll watching. Although poll watchers, you know, the term is I think used differently by different groups. So when we talk about poll watchers as election administrators, we're talking about what the election code refers to as poll watchers. And those are people who either the campaigns or candidates assign. They must turn in a certificate of poll watching. They can sit kind of by where the poll workers process voters. They're only allowed to observe. They're not allowed to talk to voters. It's a much more regulated process. So when we talk about poll watchers and administration, that's what we're talking about. When you see commercials and you hear ads about, hey, we want poll watchers and things like that, those are generally considered to be what I would call electioneers or poll sitters, people who are outside of the 100-foot markers, which we post at all of our sites, and either hand out leaflets or hold signs or just present a presence there for a certain candidate or campaign. And no election is as busy with that as a presidential, right? That's when we see that. And so we're working with our county attorney's office, with the district attorney's office, with our local law enforcement, federal law enforcement, on what we can do to ensure that we don't have voter intimidation, right? We cannot stop people from electioneering. We cannot stop people from waving flags. We cannot stop people from even talking, you know, loudly about their candidate. Amplification devices are not allowed. But we're trying to be proactive and making sure that we have, you know, we've met that place between not intimidating with law enforcement, but at the same time having some presence if needed. And basically what we're looking at is just having some law enforcement officers who are either plainclothes or not in their most formal uniform. The term escapes me right now, but to be there for crowd control, to be there if there is a need, especially with our sites that are 10 to 10. We have had some concern by poll workers. Hey, you know, what happens if, you know, we would feel better if we have at least somebody nearby. So a lot of those locations have security already on standby, but we will be having some presence at these locations to ensure that voters are not intimidated. And I would suggest we also will have our hotline with our legal team, with our county attorneys on standby. If you do feel intimidated, if you see anybody, I mean, they're not allowed to block a parking lot, they're not allowed to do anything like that, let us know immediately. Because if we don't already have someone out there handling it, we will. You know, we take that very seriously. And every 4 years it comes up again. And I think we generally handle it pretty well here in El Paso County. And it's really just about being proactive and making sure that, you know, we let them know. A lot of times one warning or something like that, and it's done. You know, it's not, it doesn't ever really escalate to the point of needing an arrest or something like that. But we are prepared, and we want to make sure voters know if you feel intimidated, if there is something happening, you need to let us know immediately.
Perfect. I'm glad you touched on that. That's been a hot topic after it was brought up at last week's debate. So thank you for making sure that was included. So we're running out of time. Can you give us your contact information if anyone has any further questions, how to reach the elections office?
Sure. So our contact information, our phone number is 915-546-2154. I would encourage everyone to visit our website at epcountyvotes.com. There's so much information there, and it almost seems overwhelming because we've had to post so many changes for this election. But I would say take some time, go through there, look at your ballot, look at the locations, really put together a plan, download our app. That will really help you also. We have a lot of people downloading that either for free, either at the Google Play or on App Store, EP Elections. And just make a plan. That's the one thing I'm trying to tell people. Please don't wait for the last minute. And human nature, it, you know, allows voters to do that a lot. But please, in anything we can get information to ahead of time, saves everybody on election day.
Wonderful. Lisa, thank you so much. Best of luck as we head into these next few weeks. It's going to be a wild ride for you, I'm sure.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And viewers, if you have any suggestions for future West Texas Town Hall series, please use the hashtag WTX Town Hall. Thank you so much and have a great rest of the day.